Jeremiah was a young man, and he preached the word of God since 626 BC to 586 BC. Means almost 40 years he preached. And as we're reading, we will know this man was a young man, and he was not an ordinary man. He is coming from the priestly family. He is a priest. His forefathers were priests. They are coming from Levites. They are dedicated people. They are people of God. And they are serving the Lord. And this man is a young man and chosen by God. God has chosen you for His glory. Let's start the word and then we'll know. Let's go to this Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1.
The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin.
Now see, this man, Jeremiah, his father is Hilkiah, and he's priest and coming from Anathoth. This is the place where the Benjamin people were living. Now there are 12 tribes, and each and every tribe, there were some Levites spread around to take care of those people and give them spiritual advice and take care of them. So we know this man is a priest and coming from the priest family. Let's go to the 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 26. I just wanted to let you know this man is coming from the priest family, and there was a priest.
And unto Abiathar the priest said the king, get thee to Anathoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father.
Now this priest is Abiathar, and Jeremiah coming from his family. So you know God had chosen the priests and dedicated them to the service of God. And so I was just thinking, why God is telling this priest, Jeremiah, and he is giving him word to preach? He did not tell the king has more authority than priests, but the priest has authority from God. Kings and presidents, they have to go to the priest, means the pastor. Pastor is the higher authority, but the king has authority over his people. So the king can stay in one place, but the pastor, evangelist, the priest, they can go around the world. King cannot leave his kingdom and go somewhere else. If he start traveling more and don't take care of his people, then his kingdom or his ministry collapses, because the king supposed to be ruling their people. King not supposed to be traveling and doing so many things like today's presidents and kings they do. But priests, their job is to preach the word of God. So as we know, the Jeremiah is dedicated man of God, serving the Lord for 40 years. But his ministry was not impressing ministry. Nobody gave any credit to Jeremiah. Nobody said, okay, I heard your preaching and you are a great preacher, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Nobody said it. You know one preacher like that? Noah. How many years he preached? 120 years. Only his family came to the Lord, but the whole world was destroyed. So this is the story. Jeremiah is a man of God, but nobody listening. No kings are listening. People are not listening. His praying gave up on him, and he was so much in trouble. As we will study this book, you will know the persecutions happened to Jeremiah. So I'm not giving a geography and everything, but we are just going to the Word of God. Let's read the Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 2.
To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month.
That somebody will say, there was no Jeremiah. And there are so many people say, Jesus was not even born. And they say, there was no King Solomon, and there was no David, and there was no Abraham. And the people start saying wrong thing because they do not want to listen to the truth. But now they are finding out our Bible is really true, and the things happen in the Bible, they are coming to surface. So he is saying there was a King Josiah, and 13 years of his reign, God called Jeremiah. And so we know there was a king, and if they start looking at the kings of Israel and kings of Judah, they will find out Jeremiah's name. So Jeremiah was in the time of King Josiah, the king who was ruling in Judah. And he given two or three kings' name here. So from that we know that Jeremiah was the prophet, and when the Josiah was ruling. And so that's the time God called him. Okay, verse 4.
Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Now here the word of God is saying, he says, the word of the Lord came to me. What the word of God is saying to him? You know, Jeremiah, before you, when I called you, you were in your mother's womb. And when you were in the mother's womb, I knew you. That's the time I call you. And somebody says, when the child was in mommy's womb and belly, he doesn't know anything. Child doesn't understand anything. But the word of God says, I have called you before the foundation of the world. I have loved you before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine if the foundation was not laid, and how he loved you and how he called you? Because our God is God. He knows before the foundation of the world, you were in his mind, you were in his heart. So he is saying to Jeremiah, you were in your mother's womb, and I have called you. I have sanctified you. I have chosen you. I have separated you from this worldly people. You are mine. That's what God is saying. Now, how many ladies, they have their children, they get pregnant, and before they get pregnant, they don't want to be pregnant. And you know that in New York City, 14 years old girl can be given this, what do you call, morning after pill? And people even do not know, what do you mean morning after pill? But the people are telling you, in case you have sex with somebody, take this pill so you will not have baby. And up to now, they were giving condoms. That was embarrassing. But now they say condom is not working. So we need morning after pills. And mother and father, they don't have to know. And so they are giving this. So I was just thinking, why this our government doing this? Oh, they don't want pregnancy. That's why you see India, China, and other countries, their population is growing. Muslim country, their population is growing. Ask any Muslim person, do you give your wife condoms or your children condoms or morning after pill, or do you do abortions? No. They are growing. Now just think, America start giving the pills to the girls and start doing abortion and start killing babies. It will be so easy for Muslim people to get rid of you. What's happening in Europe and Germany and some other places? They allowed these Muslim people to come, and they came, and now they're taking over. So the point I'm making, you have to know that if you are a woman and got married and you have children and you are planning, what they say? Planned Parenthood. Sounds so good. Oh, people, parents are planning how to bring the children in this world. But they are not doing that. When you go to that clinic and you say, I'm a pregnant, what they're going to say? Get rid of this baby because you're too young. You are in the school. You cannot do this. So this is an obstacle. Get rid of this. And they convince you. What they're trying to tell you, murder your child, kill your child. And people are doing it. And when you keep on doing over and over and over, what happens? You get calluses. You don't feel guilty anymore. So the word of God is saying God is concerned about your children. Look at the Jeremiah. He was in mother's womb. And he says, you are in your mother's womb and I have ordained you. I have set you apart. I have chosen you. I have dedicated you for my work. Do you know the John the Baptist? He was just 6 months in his mom's womb. Mary comes and gives the salutation. The baby leaped in her womb. And she said, I filled with the Holy Spirit. And my baby jumped in my womb. And the word of God says, somebody says, when the John the Baptist, who baptized him? And the people were afraid, but he was baptized in his mother's womb. The point I'm making, this little baby, John the Baptist or Jeremiah, they were little in the mother's womb, but God was concerned about them. There are people come to me and they say, you know, we cannot have children. I asked them, did you take the pills? You don't want children? Yes, we didn't want to have children. And something damaged in this system now. They cannot have any children. One couple came and they said, oh, we went to the hospital and doctor says, you cannot have any children. Then he said, the wife says to husband, you go and check it out. He checked it out. You cannot have a children. And they came to me. They said, we cannot have any children. We are married for several years. I said, children is the gift of God. I'm going to pray. It's a long story. But I laid hand, my wife and myself, we laid hand and prayed. And I said, listen, if God gives you a child, what are you going to do? Dedicate your child to the Lord. She said, I will. And the first came a son. But that girl, that lady, kept the word. It's a long story. But I'm just cutting it short. But the point I'm making, there are people, they do not know what the child will be. Sometimes the doctor will tell you, your child is deformed. You cannot take care of that child. And one child came accidentally. When the child came accidentally, the husband and wife went to the hospital for checkup. And they said, your child is deformed. You don't want this child. Who is going to take care? Have problem with this child. You have already a boy and a girl. You don't need this third child. They said, we never planned this child. And they were thinking to do abort the baby. They came to church and they were crying. I said, what's the problem? They said, what should we do? I said, I'm going to pray. And God is going to do miracle, and your child will be not deformed. Do you believe that? And I laid hand and prayed, and the baby girl came, completely healthy, no deformity at all, completely normal baby. And they bought the baby, I dedicate that child. The point I'm making, there are so many Planned Parenthood clinics. They will tell you lie because there is a big business and they will destroy your child. Hear the word of God is saying, Jeremiah, I have called you from your mother's womb. You are special to me. You are going to do great things. I have chosen you. And that's what you have to tell your children before they are born. Lay hand on your womb. Tell your husband. Tell the pastor and start praying and prophesying. Hey, baby, you might be girl or boy. You are going to serve the Lord. You are going to be healthy. You are going to be praising God and glorifying God and singing and preaching and doing the Lord's work. There is a special plan for you. You should encourage your child. And God will bless. Whatever you say, prophesy, it will come true. Verse 6.
Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child.
Now when God talks to him, I don't think he was in a crib. I don't know how to speak. Do you know Moses? He was 80 years old. He learned in Egyptian's place and he was maybe having PhD. Lots of knowledge. But he said, Lord, I cannot speak. God says, Who made the mouth? God tried to explain to him, but still he said, No, I cannot speak. He said, Okay, don't worry. I'll send Aaron, your spokesperson. But then when you start reading, you will know he starts speaking to Pharaoh face to face, start talking to God face to face, and he didn't need any Aaron anymore. So God is trying to tell this Jeremiah, I have called you. He said, Lord, I'm a child, and I don't know how to speak. When God called me, I was in my early 19 or 20 years old. And one church I was serving there, and there was another church, a branch of that church, and they had 5 ministers, pastor and 4 assistants, 5 people. And something happened, and they all left. And those people are saying, Oh, we need a pastor here. We need somebody to lead us. And my chief pastor comes and whispers to me, he said, You are going to go to that church and be a pastor there. When the chief pastor says to you something, you don't say, Oh, I'm not going. I was very young and very new. And other pastors were 20 years and 15 years and 18 years. I said, Why this pastor is sending me? Why is not sending you people? Just like a Jeremiah, I said, I'm a child. I cannot go there. And then one of the assistant pastors, he gave me this scripture. And I started reading. I said, Wow, if Jeremiah was saying, Lord, I cannot speak, so I'm saying the same thing. And God said to Jeremiah, I said, Okay, Lord, you have called me. Whatever you gave the qualification to do the works to Jeremiah, I'm going to do it. And I put my heart to do the Lord's work. When I went there, I said, Lord, there are people like 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years older than me. And I'm the young minister. They know already Bible. They are all Pentecostal, not like people do not know anything. How can I preach to them? But when this scripture came to me, God inspired me. When I went there to preach, not only morning service, evening service, what do you call, open air meeting, and within a few months, that hall was full, and we bought the big church, and then God called me for somewhere else. The point I'm making, Jeremiah is saying, Lord, I'm just a child. We are all the children of God. God cannot use heathens. God cannot use the person who is not saved or who is not born again. God uses the children of God. If you are a born-again child of God, you have the Spirit of God and you have Spirit of Christ. So once you are born again, you have Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. You are a child of God. You have mind of Christ. You have mind of God. You have heart of God. And you can do all things. St. Paul says in book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Not a single believer or child of God should say, I cannot do this. It's so difficult. I cannot do it. God is saying, I have called you. Now let's read the verse 7.
But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak.
Now he said, Don't say a child. I'm going to send you, and I'm going to put words in your mouth, and you're going to talk. You're not going to be afraid of anybody. And you speak to those people. Let's read verse 8 also.
Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth.
Now see, when this man was saying, I'm a child, God said, Don't say a child, I'm going to send you, I'm going to ordain you, I'm going to be with you. And what you're going to do, you're going to speak to people. Do not be afraid of their faces. Do you know sometimes when you're preaching in the audience and some of them sitting there, they are your enemy? They will show hands, they will show faces, they will try to scare you, and then you get scared and you don't have a message. He said, don't look at their faces, don't be afraid of their faces. When God is with you, you're not going to be afraid. When God called me, I knew my calling. Nobody paid me a penny from the day I became a minister until today. I'm not a paid servant. So I don't have to be afraid of anybody. Just like God says to him, I'm going to send you. And the word of God says, God touched his mouth. Can you see God stays in heaven and he can reach his hand from heaven to your mouth? Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, please read what he's saying. My hand is not short. My ears are not deaf. But why am I not listening to you? Please read.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
See? When Jeremiah said, I'm a child, God heard it. God will not hear the sinners when they are living in their sin. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9, it says, the prayers of the sinners is abomination to God. God doesn't want to hear the sinner's prayer. Only one prayer he will listen to, the sinner's prayer. I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. That's the prayer he will hear. Otherwise, other prayer he will not listen. So here, Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm a child. God heard it. He stretched his hand and put it on his mouth. He said, my hand is not short. He can stay in heaven and he can put his hand on your mouth. Not only that, he put his hand. He said, I put my words in your mouth. That's what the word of God is saying. When you are dragged to the court, what do? Don't be afraid what to say and what not to say. My spirit will give you utterance and you will know what to say. The word of God says to Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth, in your heart. You don't have to memorize to go to king to what to say. You don't have to write notes to go and talk to some princes. You don't have to write a notes to go and talk to some other church members. There are some people, they cannot even talk a simple thing. They have to have something written, or they have to have teleprompter or something like that. Without that, they cannot preach. Without that, they cannot talk. Because they don't have anything in their mind. They just read somebody's reading. You know, if you are a big man or the president or something and you don't have time to prepare, so what they do, some other person prepares the message for them. And they put it and then they look at it and they talk. The message has to come from your heart. The God has given you a message. You don't have to worry. He says, I'm going to send you. Don't be afraid of them. When God called me and gave me the same scripture and I said, Lord, I'm not going to be afraid. I went to the Hindu temple and preached the gospel. All the idols behind me and I'm alone. Nobody was with me, only God. And I preached the gospel there until midnight. I was not afraid. Some Muslim called me, come to my mosque and can you preach in my mosque? I knew they wanted to kill me, but I said, I'm going to go give the gospel. If I die, I die. At least I gave the message to those people. And so many church people said, oh, Pastor Peter, please don't go. I said, no, but I have invitation. They said, they are going to kill you. We are coming with you. They came with me. And the man who was inviting me, he started blaspheming about Jesus Christ. He started blaspheming about the Mary and everything. And he sat there. And it was like an insult that I came and now this man is saying bad about Christianity. So then he said, now, here is Pastor Peter going to give the message. I said, sir, come here. You tell these people who I am. And tell them, this is the man of God, serving the Lord, and God has called him, and his God is Jesus Christ, and God is doing signs and miracles and wonders. So many things I told him to tell and introduce me. So he goes and tells everything good about Christianity, good about Jesus, good about everything, and people got mad. Means the all Muslim congregation got mad. And I preached about Jesus Christ a couple of hours. And when I finished, it was rainy day and the evening time. So I took a card and gave it to one of our church members. And I said, I gave almost 100 or so. And I said, go and give it to everybody and tell them to come to church. Now, this was two things I was checking out. One thing, are they interested? Another thing, are they mad? So in his giving, nobody took the card. We don't want this Christianity. We are going to kill your man. So he comes and whispers to me, they are going to kill you. I said, okay, what we going to do now? All the brothers and sisters came with me. I said, go, just like Jesus said. Let them go. You want me? Let my disciple go. So same thing I did. I said, you go. And they went and stood at the bus stop. And here I preached. And now in Muslim mosque, you have to take your shoes off. So I took my shoes off and outside is raining. How am I going to go? So I slowly put my shoes on. And the raincoat was with me. So I put the raincoat in my shoulder. And then I said, okay, I'm going. But I invite you to come and worship with me. And those people could not do anything. They were shaking themselves. Where are you going? Could you wait? And so I got the message. They are scared of me. They are scared. God put the fear. And now they were two gates, metal gates. And I thought if they locked it, I won't be able to go. So the first door I opened, it was open. Then I went and there was another door open and then third was in the street. And so I went there and they said, you came? I said, yes. So I took my raincoat because it's raining. I said, wow, my Bible. My Bible stayed there. They said, don't go, we give a million Bibles. Don't go back. But I said, well, we will not go. I just left. The point I'm making, I preached the gospel to them, and the next day my Bible was in the post office when I went there. I said, who bought it? He said, a man came and he says, is this a Bible? Do you know this man? And my name was printed there. The man said, that is my pastor. How did you get his Bible in your hand? You are a Muslim. He said, he came to preach in mosque, and we wanted to kill him. But God did not allow us to kill, so tell your pastor, we are not going to kill him. I said, praise God. The point I'm making, this word came true in my life. Not only Hindu temples, Muslim temple, and the nominal churches. Nominal churches, I went to the several churches, but I'll give a couple of churches' names. I went to one church and preached the gospel from evening 6 o'clock to morning 5 o'clock, standing on my feet and praying for people. Pastor started crying. He said, why are you crying? He said, the book of Acts is open today. I never saw the miracle. I said, sir, are you happy? Yes. I said, did you baptize these people? No. I said, could you give me permission to baptize? He said, go ahead. I'm going to lose my job because we never baptize people. I said, okay. Lord, give me water. And I opened the door and saw back of the building, there was a lake. And I baptized all of those people. What I'm trying to say, you have to have courage. If there is no spirit, there is no unity. If you are not born again, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no unity. You cannot bring people together with a flesh and spirit. It will not work. So we have to have boldness like Jeremiah. Let's go back to the Jeremiah chapter 1.
See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it.
Now, here you see, he says, I have chosen you, I have called you, you have to root out the plants, rooting out the plant which God has not planted. The demon is working day and night on your children and on your family and putting the bad seed. You have to be very aware of it. What kind of music they are singing? What kind of movie they are watching? What kind of book they are reading? What kind of friend they have? What kind of people coming to your house? You have to be aware of it. Oh, my son is now big enough, so I don't go to his room. He brings his girlfriend, stays overnight. I let him do whatever he wants to do. I love him. That's not the love. You are sending him to hell. You have to be strong-minded. You have to love, but you have to have authority. You cannot allow your children to walk over you. And so Jeremiah is called and he said, you have to see. Even the kings or kingdoms or the people, what they're doing, what they're planting, you see, if it is not according to the word of God, you throw them down. And he says, you have to be bold enough to do these things. You are not to be afraid of anybody. When God says, I'll be with you, why should I worry? God says, I'll be with you, then I don't have to worry at all. God says, I'm going to do it. So you have to believe it. Now he says, what do you see? He says, I see the rod of almond budding. I see that. He said, you saw it right. Now somebody says, what has to do? What God is showing him? God is showing him. They say, all the fruit trees, the first tree blossoms is almond tree. You see the almond tree blossom, it blossoms earlier than any other trees in, you ask the Jewish people. So that means it's fast. It's happening so soon. So he said, you saw it, and that's what I'm going to hasten it. That's what I'm going to speed it up. That you saw what I said, what I talked to you, is not going to take too long. And he's saying what? I'm going to hasten it. I'm going to do it faster. Keep on reading.
And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land.
What do you see? He said, I see the boiling pot. Now if you have tea and put a boiling pot, so you know the water is boiling. And that water boils, and if you put your hand there, what happens? You get the blistering bubble. It's a very dangerous water boiling pot. He says, where is coming? He says, I'm facing towards north. He says, the evil coming from north. Now he's talking to the children of Israel. Now, direct opposite to the Israel nation, the north, closest north, is what do you call Iran and Iraq, and all those people are north to Israel. So the evil is coming from north. Now they are in Jerusalem. Look to your north, you see Iran and Iraq. So all these people are coming and they are going to destroy you because they are evil. Can you imagine? This is more than 2,000 years ago. Evil people, Muslim people were evil and they are still doing evil things. And they go on Friday and what they do? They pray Friday and after prayer, they kill people. That's what their God is telling them. Our God is not a killer. Our God is a savior, life giver. Let's read verse 15 and so.
For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah.
Now who are these people are coming? He said, I'm bringing them all the kingdoms and all the kings. Now these kingdoms and kings, they are from 2,000 years ago. Now also they are kings, Muslim kings. They do not want to give up their kingdom, and that's why the killing and destroying is happening. They don't want any democracy. And so those kings will come and camp around all around the Jerusalem. Keep on reading.
And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them.
Now here he's saying, I already told you what's going to happen. Enemies are going to come and camp there. They are not ordinary people. They are kings, the evil kings and evil people. Why am I bringing these people? To destroy my own people. These people are Israeli people, are his people. Judah is his kingdom. Now he's saying, I'm going to bring the enemy to destroy you. And so why? Because he said, you are worshipping heathen gods. You are worshipping idol worship. You have given up on Jehovah God. And you thought you created your own gods from your hand, idols, and you are worshipping. How much foolish people can be in this world? Go to India. 33 million gods. Now 33 million gods and you go from here to preach there and they say, we listen to Jesus. He said, the 33 million and one more. We have already enough gods. Why we need Jesus? I said to them, your gods are false gods. Your gods are no gods. Your gods are handmade gods. Your God has no power. They have nose and mouth and hands and feet, but they cannot breathe. They cannot talk. They cannot do anything. My Jesus is alive. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus says, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is unchangeable. And then I tell them, if people come with a cancer or a tumor or a blindness or deafness, I said to them, did you go to your God? If you didn't, I give you a chance. My meeting will be 3 days here. Go and talk to your God and then come back. Some people say, I went to every God, nothing is happening. Now in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they get healed. And they said, Muslim people say, oh, your God and my God is the same. And they are fooling Americans. Our God is your God is the same. My God says love. Your God says hate. How can your God and my God is the same? My God gives life, your God kills. How can you say that God and my God is same? My God says you should have one wife. Your God says you can have 7 wives. How can my God and your God is the same? In my heaven, Bible says no unholy things will enter. Your God and my God is not the same. They say, oh, my God and your God is the same. No, your God and my God is not same. But they know our Bible is going to win. So they prohibit Bible in their countries. I say, why are you afraid of Bible? Bible is just a piece of paper. Why are you afraid of paper? But they know if they read the Bible, they are going to worship Jehovah God. So we do not have to be afraid of anybody. All Jewish people will be saved in a millennium, but not today. Today they have to believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But the Christian people, they say, oh, I'm going to make a Jewish temple. I'm going to help the Jewish rabbi. You bring them to Christ. Without Christ, there is no salvation today. Hindu or Muslim or Jewish, if they want to go to heaven, Jesus Christ says, I am the way. Come through me. I am the door. He did not say, oh, Jewish people, there is another door, and Christian people, there is another door. There is only one door. There is only one way. We have to bring them through Christ. But in millennium, when Jesus Christ comes, they will repent. They will call upon Jesus. They will give their heart to Jesus. God will pour the Holy Spirit on them. That's a different story. But today, if you talk to Jewish or Muslim or Hindu, tell them there is no other way. There is only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read and finish this chapter.
For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee.
Did you get it, what God said to Jeremiah? I am going to make you like a defense city. He said, I'm going to make you like an iron pillar. I'm going to make you as a wall of brass. It's very strong. So he says, you will be like a wall like a brass. You will be pillar like iron, and you will be strong city. So that means nobody has power to bend you or destroy you. So God says, I'm going to make you like iron. I'm going to make you like brass, and you will be like a wall. They will not have power to destroy you. They are not going to fight against you, because I will be with you and I will deliver you. If you have that kind of promise, are you going to be afraid? God says, I'll be with you. I will protect you. And you will be like iron. You will be like brass. Nobody has power against you, because I will be with you. If that's you, then you have to say, I'm not going to be afraid of anything. I don't care what the economy goes down, people losing job, houses, or anything. God is with me. I'm not going to be afraid. God is going to provide everything. What Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, you have nothing. He says, Psalm 127, if God is not watching the city, watchman's watching is in vain. If God is not building your house, the builder's building is in vain. So what I'm trying to say, God, you're going to do it. I am just a vessel. But God cannot use unholy vessel. Let's rise and let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, I believe in my heart. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. You said if you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Give us grace, O Lord Jesus, and let us hold on to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.